It's good to be able to be here this morning and to bring lesson from God's Word, and do appreciate Brother Hugh's class this morning, and I hope that I can do as good a job as he did in the lesson. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The text, the main text of the thesis of the lesson is verses 13 through 15. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." So we see here from this text that it says that from the beginning that God has chosen us for salvation, and that we have been called by the gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of those two things, then, if we accept that and we are obedient, then we are then commanded to hold on to those teachings and stand fast. We have been chosen for salvation from the beginning. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I'm going to begin with verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So we have been chosen from him before the foundation of the world. God's plan from the very beginning. He had a plan, and he knew what that was for mankind. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Ephesians 3, 9 through 11. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Turn to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and upon every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So here we have several scriptures, again, pointing out here from the very beginning that we were created in God's image. God is light. God is love. And so we have been created in that image. God is perfect. There is no wrong in God. And so when he created us, he had that in mind too, that we have the capability to be like him, to be complete, to be righteous, to be holy. Let's turn to Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here again, more evidence of that God has a plan, that God purposed in his heart to create us in his image, that he from the beginning chose us to be this way. He's had a plan from the beginning to reconcile man back to him. We are his elect through obedience to his will. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Beginning with verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Ephesians 4:22-24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? And we are called, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Beginning in verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the... Second Timothy 1:8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So if we are obedient to His will and we are willing to submit ourselves, then we can become one of God's elect. And if we will answer the call to be righteous, the call to be holy, call to be in His kingdom, then we can partake of all of those spiritual blessings. And if you see, as we see here also in 1 Peter 5, that through some of that, that we are going to suffer. As Christ suffered, then if we're going to be like Christ and follow after Him, then we will also suffer. He gave us the example, as it was pointed out in the reading before the Lord's Supper, that one of the greatest things about the crucifixion is the example that Christ gave us to show us the way, that He was obedient even unto death. And so that we now have that pattern, and if we will follow that pattern, then we can be partakers of that glory in the end. He wants us to serve Him in holiness and righteousness. Luke 1, 74 and verse 75. That He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Jeremiah 32, 38 and 40 through 40. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so we have to live in this present world, but we do not have to be of this world. And we've seen this scripture many times, but let's go over it again. 1 John 2. 15 through 17 teaches us, says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we're going to be of this world and we're going to behave like those of this world do, then when this world passes away, all of they're going to pass away too, and they will be in an everlasting life of punishment. But if we're going to serve God, even though we are in this world, we are not of this world, we are separate from this world to do His works. Look at 1 Peter Chapter 1, 13 through 15. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And speaking of his church, Ephesians 5:27, if we are members of his body and we are walking in holiness and righteousness, then here in verse 27 says that he might present it, the church that is, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. As Brother Hugh pointed out in class this morning on the Passover the Passover had to be a lamb without spot or blemish to sacrifice to God. And if we're going to be a living sacrifice to God, then we then have to be without blemish and without spot. And so we have to be holy and we have to be righteousness. And to gird up our mind to be this way and to study is 2 Timothy. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. Verses 14, beginning there, it says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness." And so if we study to show ourselves approved, then we can exercise our mind before Christ and to then be able to then gird up our loins to holiness. And we can then prepare ourselves to be a vessel of honor. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21. The Apostle Paul writing here says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." So if we purge ourselves from ungodliness, then we can fashion ourselves to be a vessel unto honor. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And so if we get rid of all these weights that would drag us down, then we can, again, be a vessel for honor. Let's turn to Romans chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" And so we have a choice in this. You know, we've been talking about that God has chosen us, that God predestined, that is planned from the beginning. God wants us to be holy, but it is up to us. We do have a choice. We can become a vessel unto honor. We can become a vessel unto dishonor. We can become one for the master's use or one fitted for destruction. And it's dependent upon whether we want to be obedient to his will or disobedient to his will. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. The apostles were arrested and told that not to preach Christ. And so but then God told them to go back and to preach. And so they continued and they were rearrested. And so here in chapter 5, verse 28, it says, saying, did we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We have a choice to make in our lives every single day when we get up. Are we going to obey God rather than men? Are we going to do God's will? Or are we going to bow to Satan's wishes and allow Satan to tempt us away and draw us away? Romans 9:22 talks about, as we just read, about the vessels fitted for destruction. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2:8. This is verse 7, unto therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So for those who want to be disobedient and do not want to accept God, then Christ becomes a stumbling block. It is only through the willingness to open our hearts and our minds to Christ's will that then we can see that will, and then Christ then becomes precious to us and is not a stumbling block. Paul pointed out, that many of the people he was preaching to, especially as he was traveling throughout Greece, and if you look at his sermon in Athens, that they had all of these idols, they had all of these gods, and he said that he came there to proclaim the true and the living God. But they, filled with the idea of wanting to be part of man's wisdom, when man's wisdom was more important to them than God's wisdom, then, you know, to them, all this was nonsense. But for us that believe, then we know that Christ is the power to salvation. If we accept his will and are willing to submit ourselves and to be obedient, then once we are part of his kingdom, then we are commanded to stand fast. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Philippians 4:1 says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So here we're told to be unmovable, like a rock. Not to be, as James points out, let's turn to James chapter 1. says, if any of you lack wisdom, beginning with verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. We are not to be that way. Our faith is to be strong. Our belief and our holding on to the gospel is to be strong, so that we are a rock, that we can't be moved. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 5, and then let's look at verse 9. Verse 5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then down here in verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we stand on these promises. We stand on these precepts, these teachings. We stand by faith. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. So we stand on this gospel. We stand by faith. We stand on the gospel. We are also to have one spirit. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Romans 15, 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now, if we're going to stand fast here, we see these scriptures of being in one mind. We cannot be different. We cannot go around teaching God is one thing, Christ is a different thing. You do this, you do that, you find your way, I'll find my way, and eventually we will all come together. It doesn't work this way. There is no unity in the house of God. There is no unity in His kingdom unless we are all of the same mind. There is no unity in His body. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And what is that vocation? That vocation to be an obedient child of God working in His kingdom. To be a lively stone. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, and one another in love, endeavoring to do what? To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, how is that? Well, let's look at verse 4 and 5 and 6. There is one body. There's not many bodies. There's one body and one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. There's only one. And that's God's way. Not man's way, not man's ideas, not man's philosophies. There's only one. Now, we have the choice to accept that or not. And it doesn't matter if we reject it, that does not change God's mind. God's mind has been singular from the day that He fashioned this world. And so even though there are many out there that reject this idea, that does not change the fact that God has written, there's one way. And it's His way. And so we have the privilege then, if we want to be in that way, then we have that privilege. That privilege to make that confession, to say that Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized, to be immersed, to be buried with Him in baptism, to be brought up a new creature, to have our name written in the book of life. That's how we get into His kingdom. That's how we begin to enjoy the blessings of His kingdom. That's how we begin to be a partaker of all of His glories. If you are outside the body of Christ, then you are outside of these glories. Your name is not in that book of life. It's outside. Is that old saying as we... you hear the same, on the outside looking in. And truthfully, that is the way it is with God. If we're not obedient and not part of Him and not His child, we are definitely on the outside. And so we can be on the inside, be His child if we are make that confession and we are baptized. And so if you are not a child of God and you have not been baptized in for your the remission of your sins and been put into His church, then this invitation is for you to come forward and to make that great confession. Change your life. If you are a member of His body but have fallen away and need the prayers of the congregation, then this again is the time for you to come forward, to get yourself right back with God, the prayers of the congregation, to set yourself back on that pathway, to be that vessel of honor that He wants us all to be. If you have a need, then at this time, this invitation is yours as we stand and sing.